Hey, podcast people, it's Joshua. It's the same person you're going to hear after the intro, but before the intro. And I just wanted to let you know that there's much more show than gets put onto the Roughing the Kicker feed every day, or at least almost every day. What I do is I do a show on ESPN Kansas City, which is 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, 1510.com, the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page. I do that show from 4 to 6 p.m. every day here in Kansas City. And then I take the Chiefs-related segments, and I put them out here on the Roughing the Kicker feed. And I'm sure some of you knew that already. I'm sure some of you go, oh, I didn't know there was more show, and not just arbitrary amounts of time that get put on this feed on a daily basis. There is more show. And listen, I understand that not everybody listening now cares about, you know, the Jayhawks or the Royals or Mizzou or whatever. But there is more show, and I would love it if you would check it out. It's almost entirely sports, which you hear constantly throughout the show. But if you search almost entirely sports wherever you get your podcast, you get 2 hours of talk every day. And if you enjoy Roughing the Kicker, I like to think you would enjoy almost entirely sports. And if you don't, that's fine. I'm happy to have you here also. I wanted to let you know specifically today, though, because I thought the last couple days of shows, especially today, was really fun and really interesting and really good. We did a lot of Star Wars talk, so if you're a Star Wars fan, I think you'd probably enjoy the almost entirely sports shows from these last couple of days. So I'd love it if you give it a shot. If you don't, no hard feelings. But I did want to let you know that's what happens here. I do almost entirely sports for 2 hours, and the Chief stuff makes it way over to Roughing the Kicker. So I'm hugely appreciative to you for however it is that you listen to and consume this show. But as always, from 4 to 6 p.m. every weekday, you can watch the show live on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page or listen live in any of those places I mentioned. Find the podcast Almost Entirely Sports. So just wanted to let you know that that's a way that you can consume the show. Now, enjoy this conversation that I had with Kent Swanson of Arrowhead Pride today on Almost Entirely Sports.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I know it's been a while since I've complained about how hard this job is.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
The difficulties continue. I just took a pen out of my backpack that I had borrowed from the one of the production rooms here. It was left, and it was a great pen. It was a Tool brand pen. It was wonderful. Speak about it in the past tense, because it exploded. So I have ink on my hands and a pen in the trash can now. The struggles of this job just never end. I had to roll some of the desk chairs away from the desk today so the camera could get a full shot of me. Ugh, it's insufferable. Can't believe that I work under these conditions. We're talking now to Kent Swanson from Arrowhead Pride. He's on Twitter at Kent_Swanson. He just wrote a really good article on Arrowhead Pride about the headline of it is Chiefs offensive coordinator Matt Nagy's making minor changes for huge results. He goes through and details some of the changes that have been made in this offense over the last couple of weeks and the results. And we're going to talk about all of that in depth. But Kent, first of all, are you seeing Star Wars tonight, or do you have plans to see Star Wars soon?
8:45, man. I'm running the clock out on it as long. You know, I'm so ready. I'm taking my brother, actually, for his birthday. It's kind of our tradition. If there's a new Star Wars out in December, that's what we do for his birthday. So I'm pretty excited about it.
That is fantastic. I'm going. I just bought my tickets this morning, so I'm going at 10:45. I'm going real late in the game. And I fell asleep at the end of Rogue One, which is my greatest shame, because I saw it really late, and I was just tired. And I fell asleep, and I vaguely remember seeing Darth Vader, and that's all.
Oh, man, I'm too old for that. That's not happening with me, so.
It might not be happening for me either. I don't know. That's the risk that I'm taking. All right, so let's talk about this article that you wrote on Arrowhead Pride. Again, you can go read the whole thing there. Before we get into the specifics, and you talk a lot about the run-pass options, I'll have to explain all of that and everything, too. And I guess if it is the run-pass option, then you can go ahead and cut me off there. But what was the thing that kind of, as you watched these games live, the first time through, what was the obvious thing that stuck out? And then we'll talk about the more subtle things that you found in the patterns in a second.
Well, I think the last time I talked to you, you know, I was kind of talking about a concerted effort to push the ball down the field. Mm-hmm. And they're definitely doing that a little bit more now in some of the ways they've done it. It's been really creative. But, you know, it is also just the usage of RPOs is incredible. It's a unfathomable amount. And those two things are the most noticeable and obvious things to me that have changed with Matt Nagy now calling the plays.
All right, so now explain a run-pass option for someone who might only have a vague idea what that means, and then can you explain how the Chiefs have used it so much since Nagy's taken over play calling?
Sure. So a run-pass option is basically you have it's a standard run play. The offensive line, the quarterback, and the running back all are running a run play. The receivers are running some kind of pass concept and sometimes one pass concept on each side of the football. So if there's three receivers on one side, they might be running a bubble screen. And the single receiver on the other side is just running a simple hitch route or a slant. And what it does is the quarterback has three different options to throw or run the football. And it creates a lot of problems for defenses to have to worry about all 11 guys more than just, you know, your coverage responsibilities. You are spreading the defense out to force them to worry and stress about all different parts of the field and all different kinds of options. So it can create very defined options for, say, for Alex Smith to just simply hand the ball off. The boxes are much lighter now. There's only, you know, there might be only six people in the box because they're stressed about all these other different things that are going on at the same time. So it's really just a unique spin on a standard run play and adding a few little elements to it to just stress defenses, and they've had a lot of success with it.
It seems like also that it really must play to the Chiefs' strengths rather well, because Alex Smith's biggest strength is with his pre-snap reads and being able to look at what the defense is giving and then adjust accordingly and hope that the defense doesn't change it between that moment and then the moment after the ball snapped. And also, the Chiefs have so much talent that I would think that Smith would truly just be looking for the best matchup, because there is no loser whenever you're going to Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce or Kareem Hunt. In any of those instances, you feel really good about the guys getting the ball. Is that all fair?
Yeah, it is fair. And I think part of the reason that the Chiefs have been so successful with the concept is because of the guys that are threats to catch the ball. So a lot of times you've got Travis Kelce maybe on one side and Tyreek Hill on the other. So you're worried about two of the best players at their position getting the football. And the funny thing about some of the looks that they've been giving teams and some of the run-pass options they've been running, it's actually turned – like, Travis Kelce's not a good blocker. I mean, he's fine. He's not a world-beating blocker. He's pretty good at it. He's not great. It turns him into the best blocking tight end in football, not because he's actually even blocking anybody. To reference Star Wars, he's using the Force. because it's holding two guys. A lot of the cop sets that they're using, if he's just running into the flats, just straight down the line of scrimmage, two defenders are holding, and they are making sure that they're not throwing the ball to Kelce. And a couple of the instances I used in the article, he literally took two guys out of the play in an already very light box with six defenders in there and freed up Brian Witzman and Laurent Duvernay-Tardif to just get upfield and block. So, it's a combination of, you know, these guys, they're using – some incredibly talented football players and their reputations to their advantage too. It's a rabbit hole. I'm trying not to get too far down into it, but it's super impressive, and I'm loving the things that Matt Nagy's doing and the problems he's causing.
Okay, and so now this you can't know the answer to this, but you can, I guess, just sort of speculate with the rest of us. Why didn't the Chiefs experiment in this direction sooner? And also, had there been some of this run-pass option work in the offense earlier in the season to similar amounts of success?
So here, I kind of use this example in the article a little bit. The Chiefs, Andy Reid has a philosophy. He designed all these plays. I'm confident he really has an influence even on the RPOs. It's just Nagy's usage of the RPO is really what's different. So some of the plays and a lot of the plays that we've seen, they've used in smaller doses. The major philosophical change, though, has just been to be more frequent with it and experiment it with it more. So it's more just about how many of those plays that he's using. And that's what Nagy's really committed to is he said, you know, these cause problems, these RPOs cause problems, and they force defenses to be on their heels, and that's what we're going to base our run plays out of. It's no longer just something you sprinkle in there for teams to have to talk about maybe a couple times during the week. It is our run plays, our RPOs, and you're going to have to be on alert every single snap of the football.
Okay, so now going forward, is there a way for defenses to adjust to that? Because usually it seems like if a team does really find this identity in something like that, as a game, this is what we're basing everything out of, usually defenses figure out a way to at least challenge that specifically. But with everything you're saying here, it seems like this would be very, very difficult for opposing teams to get a feel for. If you were a defensive coordinator, how would you try to combat this to keep the Chiefs from just doing this constantly?
So a couple of things I've noticed. Some of the fronts that the defenses have been using and the alignments of their linebackers can actually bait some of the linemen into an eligible man downfield if they're not careful. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things about RPOs I probably should have explained earlier. Since the offensive line is actually running a run play, if the play takes too long to develop and a ball is thrown, actually the touchdown catch that Kelsey had that got taken back is the prime example. There's an eligible man downfield because they were running a run play, and Alex took too long to get rid of the ball, and it turned into a scramble opportunity, and it was illegal. Mm-hmm. So sometimes the defense will actually adjust their lines and their fronts and their linebackers. That it's a hard block for a lineman to make without being in space, and I've seen it happen a couple times where the Chiefs were kind of on that line, and but beyond that, you know, I think it's actually just picking your poison a little bit. And, those plays in the flats, they're not necessarily big play opportunities. They're kind of small chunk plays. You know, you're probably not going to score too many touchdowns on a bubble screen. You might score one every now and then. I mean, I think Albert Wilson did a couple weeks ago, but it's more about just picking your poison. Who do you want to have the ball, and what benefits you guys the most? And, you know, the Chiefs averaged 5 yards a play on RPOs last week. So it's not like it's life-changing. It's just forcing a lot of options. And it's kind of putting them back in control. Good. And they busted one, you know, for a touchdown later in the game. So, that's probably the best way I can explain it.
It's really good. We're talking to Kent Swanson. He writes for Arrowhead Pride. He's on Twitter at Kent_Swanson. Swan like the bird, and then son like a male child. So I had an analogy for Matt Nagy as to Andy Reid. I had also talked about the ingredients in the same way that you did in this article. But the one that most recently I've come up with is that Andy Reid is a brilliant writer. He has this wonderful story that he's telling, and he does it eloquently and well, and he's got a fantastic book. But he desperately needs an editor sometimes. Sometimes you need somebody to go through with a red pen and take away the passes to Cameron Irving on 3rd and 1. And it seems like the offense has been, maybe it's just going to the run pass option instead of going to some gimmick to try to open it back up. Do you think that's with all of the film watching that you've done, do you think that's a fair analogy for Reed and Matt Nagy?
I feel okay about that one. I think part of it is I think that Andy's just so stuck in his ways,
right.
and not in a bad way. It's just he's had a formula for success over time, and he's more than willing to incorporate things like RPOs. I think I think to your point, it just took someone to kind of flip some of his creativity on its head, and be innovative with some of the incredible things that Andy Reid's been able to design. So, you know, maybe that probably is a good analogy. Maybe, you know, Matt Nagy provided a great headline or something. I don't know, but that makes sense to me. I think that's fair.
So does this – let's peer ahead a little, probably peering ahead too far. But I think right now the feel has to be that eventually Nagy's going to get a head coaching job somewhere else, and very likely this offseason. Does the offensive lull that you saw through that terrible stretch for the Chiefs and then the success they've had with the play calling change, does that make you worry about Andy Reid a little bit going forward? Is that fair?
I don't think I worry about Reid, because one of the things he's really good at is he's good at finding talent. I mean, the reason that he's gotten a lot of these offensive coordinators to get better jobs and have success in this league, I mean, it's because he's got an eye for talent.
That's true.
And I don't think his ego gets into the way. Mm-hmm. I don't think some of the struggles that they've had at times have to do with necessarily with Andy Reid's ego or anything. I think he'll find someone that will push him, will become an innovator, will try different things, because I think that's healthy, and I think that's part of his process anyway. He's really involved with he's really good at getting his entire staff involved. And I think I read something about how, you know, when they're creating the first 15 play script for the offense, they get input from all the other members of the staff, like Eric Bieniemy, the running back coach. He's involved. And Andy Hecht, they all have some level of involvement. They it's a very collaborative effort because of Andy Reid's lack of an ego. So I think the next offensive coordinator, whoever it is, if Matt Nagy does wind up getting a job, you know, I trust that Reid's process of being able to identify talent and guys that will, you know, you don't want groupthink. And I don't think Andy wants groupthink. So, you know, finding the next guy that is able to, you know, take the things that he's good at and the things that Reid has been able to create and kind of using it to its greatest potential, I'm fully confident he'll be able to do that another time.
That totally makes sense, because who was Matt Nagy, you know, a year and a half ago? So I think that's a great point. So now with what you've seen from the offense and with the ways that you've been able to dissect it and what we've talked about so far, I am guessing that you feel pretty good about where the Chiefs are right now. I feel better after having seen these last couple of weeks and after having seen, or I guess last week, but both, you know, last 2 weeks offensively, and then after reading what they've done differently here, you talked about it, I feel better. What is your feeling now for the rest of this season for the Chiefs and then ostensibly a playoff berth and then maybe some time in the playoffs? How do your expectations line up now as opposed to maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago?
I feel pretty good about this offense. And I don't think we've seen the complete manifestation of some of the stuff that they've established so far. Mm. You know, I think one thing that's important with this whole kind of philosophical tweak that they've made is that there's a lot of potential to build off of it. And part of the reason that this RPO change with kind of basing their run plays out of them is going to be, is kind of innovative and could potentially be so successful, is they could build a lot of stuff off of it, meaning, you know, predictable formations that, you know, they run their RPOs out of. Now you can maybe sneak a vertical pass play out of it. You know, it's they're all really common formations. So I think there's going to be a continual build off of it. I don't think we've seen the final version of this thing. So the momentum is real with this offense, and the potential is insane with the amount of things that they're able to throw at defenses and get defenses worrying about. That's really the most important thing with this entire thing, is just getting defenses to focus on a lot of different things and having them have to stress about a lot of and prepare for a lot of things. So I think the momentum is real for the rest of this season. This week's going to be a huge challenge, because even if there's six in the box, the six that the Chargers will have in the box are really good. But I think, you know, this week will kind of tell us a lot about the sustainability of the philosophical changes that they've kind of made the last couple weeks. So if it's pretty good returns this week, I think we should start kind of talking a little bit about maybe a couple a playoff win or two. That, you know, I think there's a range of outcomes there from what I've seen lately.
All right, Kent, one more question for you. You've talked about the run-pass options a bunch. What is something that your average Chiefs fan should be watching offensively this upcoming week, something that everybody should have their eyes open for?
I think we should see if the Chiefs are able to hit a couple plays down. I think that's the next step in this offense is being able to sneak a couple big plays downfield. So if we see maybe a wide open, you know, Travis Kelce or something, or a wide open DeMarcus Robinson, and he hit it, and the Chiefs hit it, that's going to tell me, just watching, you know, even without even getting to watch the game film, that there's a coverage bust probably, or they're just tricking people off of some of the looks that they've been able to establish recently. So look and see, you know, if they're hitting a big play, there's something good going there. And it's not just as simple as, you know, he was, you know, he beat his man. There's probably something associated with what we've seen the last couple weeks that had to do with it.
Kent Swanson, again, of Arrowhead Pride, is on Twitter at Kent_Swanson. Great again to talk to you, and I'm sure we'll be hearing from you soon. Hopefully we're talking about, you know, a playoff game and not a disappointing last few weeks or an early exit. Hopefully we'll talk to you when there's something still on the table.
Well, and hopefully Ray is Luke's daughter. So
you're rooting for that? Oh, no.
I am, actually. I think that would be a really cool story arc, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, man, I don't think I want that. I want the Porgs to be the key. I'm on the record by saying I want there to be a Porg storm at some point, and that is the climactic scene of the movie. Porgs kill Kylo Ren. Book it. That's my bet.
I just hope it turns out better than Jar Jar, because this is the same shtick. It's a toy. It's a toy selling machine. So we'll see what happens.
Man, okay, I feel better about the Chiefs offense than I do Star Wars now. Thank you, Kent.
Thanks, man.
Kent Swanson of Arrowhead Pride. Now, I'm on board with the Porg. And also with Matt Nagy.